त्वं विमोक्ष गजयुतपम् अब्जनाभा स्तेनापि पार्षदगतिं गमितेन युक्तः गन्धर्वसिद्धविभूतैरुपगीयमाना कर्माद्भुतं स्वभवनं गरुडासनोगा Upon delivering the king of the elephants from the clutches of the crocodile and from material existence, which resembles a crocodile, the Lord awarded him the status of Sarupya Mukti. In the presence of the Gandharvas, the Siddhas and the other demigods who were praising the Lord for his wonderful transcendental activities, the Lord, sitting on the back of his carrier Garuda, returned to his all-wonderful abode and took Gajendra with him. Purport. In this verse, the word vimoksha is significant. For a devotee, moksha or mukti, that is salvation, means getting the position of the Lord's associate. The impersonalists are satisfied to get the liberation of merging in the Brahman effulgence. But for a devotee, mukti liberation means not to merge in the effulgence of the Lord, but to directly promote it to the Vaikuntha planets and to become an associate of the Lord. In this regard, there is a relevant verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatmakritam vipakam ritvakvapurbhir vidadan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadaya bhak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee who tolerates everything in this material world and patiently executes his devotional service can become Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak, a bona fide candidate for liberation. The word Daya Bhak refers to a hereditary right to the Lord's mercy. A devotee must simply engage in devotional service, not caring about material situations. Then he automatically becomes a rightful candidate for promotion to the Vaikuntha Loka. The devotee who renders unalloyed service to the Lord gets the right to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka, just as a son inherits the property of his father. When a devotee gets liberation, he becomes free from material contamination and engages as a servant of the Lord. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6. Muktir hitva anyatha rupam sarupena vyavasthitihi. The word sarupa refers to sarupa sarupya mukti, going back home, back to Godhead, and remaining the Lord's eternal associate, having regained a spiritual body exactly resembling that of the Lord, with four hands holding the Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma. The difference between the mukti of the impersonalist and that of the devotee is that the devotee is immediately appointed an eternal servant of the Lord, whereas the impersonalist, although merging in the effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti, is still insecure and therefore generally falls again to this material world. As I said, Aruya Krichena Param Padam Tata Patanti Adho Nadra Yusmad Angrayaha 10.2.32. Although the impersonalist rises to the Brahman effulgence and enters into that effulgence, he has no engagement in the service of the Lord and therefore he is again attracted to materialistic philanthropic activities. Thus, he comes down to open hospitals and educational institutions, feed poor men and perform similar materialistic activities, which the impersonalist thinks are more precious than serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anadra Yushmat Angrayaha. The impersonalists do not think that the service of the Lord is more valuable than serving the poor man or starting a school or hospital. Although they say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Brahman is real and the material world is false, they are nonetheless very eager to serve the false material world and neglect the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Just this morning only I was asked to give the class, so please forgive me if any deficiencies or faults on my part. So translation would like to read again. So we are almost at the culmination of this chapter, in fact the entire episode of Gajendra Moksha. In fact this entire episode is depicted in these beautiful chapters of 2nd, 3rd and 4th chapter of 8th canto. So today what we'll do is, because many devotees, senior devotees up till here now, they have discussed this beautiful pastime, bring out so many lessons, the relevant lessons at the respective stages. So we'd like to again recapitulate those lessons. So there are of course many lessons to be learned from this episode, but there are around 6 lessons that I have jotted down which seem to be very important, at least to me. So we'll discuss them one by one. So the whole episode begins at a place called Trikuta Mountain. It is said in the 3rd chapter that where is this Trikuta Mountain located? It is located in the realm of Kshirasagar, the ocean of milk. And there is this beautiful mountain known as Trikuta, which has an altitude of almost 10,000 yojanas. Now as you all know, one yojana is almost equivalent to 8 miles. So that is around 80,000 miles. So as high as 80,000 miles. And on this mountain, there are so many valleys. And in a valley of Trikuta, there is a beautiful garden known as Ritumata, which was constructed by none other than Varuna himself. And it is said, in this valley, there is a nice lake. And that lake is so beautiful. Just imagine, heavenly planets, and also among heavenly planets, the topmost, the Kshirasagar, the ocean of milk. So how beautiful the lake must be. There lived the king of the elephants. Now this is not an ordinary elephant, this is a divine elephant, the celestial elephant rather, who was enjoying the celestial life in the heavenly kingdom. And he had a big entourage, he had many friends and relatives. So as is the nature of the elephants, they like to sport in the water. So once he was out there on an excursion. So he happened to visit this lake and he enters the water. Oh, before that, the lesson number one that I would like to point out in this regard is, as Srila Shukadeva Goswami at the end of the chapter, he mentions, anyone who hears to this wonderful pastime of Gajendra Moksha also gets an opportunity to perfect his life like Gajendra did. Gajendra, as is mentioned in this verse, is taken back home, back to Godhead by the Supreme Lord, which is the goal of human form of life. So Shukadeva Goswami herein is blessing the audience that if we keenly and submissively hear this wonderful pastime, then we all also will be entitled to the same kind of destination. So now coming back to Gajendra and his friends, they were enjoying this, they were sporting in the water, and he was enjoying the pinnacle of the sense gratification. Now the nature of sense gratification, as is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, yehi sansparshaja bhoga dukkhayoneva evate adyantavanta konteyana teshu ramate buddha. So the nature of the sense gratification is that in the beginning there may be little enjoyment, which is of temporary, transient nature. But the end result is very miserable. So the happiness is transformed into the misery. That is the nature of this material happiness. So we can see Gajendra apparently was enjoying in the water along with his friends and relatives. He had so much of opulence. But as we'll see later in the chapter, at the end of the chapter, that how miserable he becomes. Also, lesson number 3 that can be learned from this particular incident is opulence is quite dangerous. Such kind of opulence makes one person blind. As Kunti Maharani, she beautifully prays, Janma Ishwarya Srita Srivir Edaman Madappuman Na Eva Arhati Abhidatum Vai Tvamakinchana Gocharam. Janma, the high birth, Aishwarya, opulence, the wealth, Aishwarya, Shruti Srivir. Shruti is learnedness, that is high education, mundane education, and Sri, beauty. These are the four obstacles on the path of devotional service, and which can be a great impediment to get closer to Krishna. So in this episode, we can see that Gajendra is enjoying the second opulence, and which happens to be a big obstacle on the path of going back home, back to Godhead. So he has entered into the water, he's sporting, he's not just enjoying, but he's creating disturbance. So nature of sense gratification is that we become so blinded by the desire to enjoy that we don't even take a note of the surroundings, whether it will harm someone else. So we see that all aquatics, they are agitated, and there lived also a king of the crocodiles, the chief of the crocodiles, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here. So he became quite furious because he was agitated to see how this elephant, impudent elephant, is creating trouble in the water. So crocodiles immediately appears on the scene and grabs hold of the leg of the elephant, and there ensues the big battle, which lasts for several thousand years, almost 1,000 years. So fight went on for 1,000 years, and as we have seen, crocodile, being the animal in the water, was very powerful. It was natural for him, and Gajendra, being an animal of the land, he was slowly losing his strength. And as we have heard till now, how when he is about to give up his body, he is in so much of pain and distress that he is trying to seek the shelter from his friends and relatives, but none of them practically was in a position to help him. So another lesson that we learn from this situation is that in this material world, there is no shelter other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is a kind of flashback. Who was this elephant in his previous life? So this elephant was none other than a king by name Indradumna. And he was a devotee of the Lord. He was staunch devout. And understanding the importance of giving up the material life, finally he gives up the material life, gives up his kingdom, kids and kins, and enters the forest. And there he starts practicing devotional service. He's meditating on the Lord and appears on the scene whom? None other than Agastya Muni, the great sage. He was very powerful. And as is the general etiquette, any guest, why just saintly persons or great persons, any person who walks into our home or our place, it is a proper etiquette to receive the guest nicely. Atitya Shilata. So Agastya Muni was naturally expecting that hospitality from him. But Indradumna Maharaj, he is completely engrossed in meditating on the Supreme Lord. So he couldn't take a notice of the surrounding, the arrival of Agastya Muni. And Agastya Muni kind of becomes transcendentally agitated, and he becomes transcendentally angry and curses upon this great soul. Now in this situation, there is one more lesson that can be learned. Now, in ordinary circumstances, in the mundane world, as is generally happened, anyone who utters any abusive word to someone, that person immediately becomes agitated. He becomes angry. And there is counter curse, and sometimes there is fist fights, verbal fights like that. But here, the nature of the devotee is depicted. So these pastimes are very didactic. That means we can learn many lessons out of it. So Indradumna Maharaj, he is showing the devotee's nature. He accepts the curse of Agastya Muni as a blessing. So he doesn't retaliate, as was also seen in the, I believe, sixth canto, the Vritrasura episode. Chitraketu Maharaj, who is also another pure devotee of the Lord, he was cursed in similar fashion by Goddess Durga, Parvati Devi. But he also did not retaliate. Although he had all power to curse back Mother Parvati, but still he took it in the right way. So similarly here, Indradumna Maharaj, he accepts the curse as a blessing. And Agastya Muni is thinking that he is Just like the nature of the elephant, as is explained in the purport by Srila Prabhupada in the previous verses, the elephants, they are very strong physically, but intellectually, they are very dull-headed. So Agastya Muni is thinking he is dull-headed. Although he is a king, empowered person on this planet, who is a very responsible person, he doesn't even know how to follow the general etiquettes. So he curses the king Indradumna to be an elephant. So that is how he becomes the elephant in his next life. But the nature of devotional service is that anything that is performed on this path is eternally saved, protected by the Lord. As Lord confirms that in Bhagavad Gita, Nehabhikramanashwasti Pratyavayana, Salpam api sadharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even little advancement done on this path can protect one from the greatest type of fear. Of course, the greatest type of fear, as Srila Prabhupada translates, as losing one's human form of life. But apparently, it may be seen that he has lost his human form of life. Although he has taken an inferior birth in his next lifetime, that is of the elephant's body, just like also in the episode of Jad Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, he happened to get attached to a small, insignificant deer, and in the next lifetime, he had to accept the body of the deer. So there also it appears as if, you know, there is a fall down and he has lost his human form of life. But from the higher perspective, if you see, the Lord is maintaining his credits, the remembrance also. When actually it is needed, at the right time, that person is given the remembrance. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha. From me comes remembrance and forgetfulness. So Lord is merciful, and when it is needed at the right time, when elephant Gajendra, the king of the elephants, he is in distress and he is trying to seek the shelter here and there, finally understands that there is no other shelter. So by the mercy of the Lord, at the right time when needed, he is able to remember his previous life. And he remembers that who was he in his previous life and how he was on the path of devotional service and how he was taken away. So now he is offering beautiful prayers to the Lord, and he's remembering the Lord. So the Lord, as is the nature of the Lord, and as he has promised in Bhagavad Gita, Name Bhaktaha Pranashati Kaunteya Pratijani. Please declare boldly, Arjun, that my devotee never perishes. So he can, as we have seen in the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord is ready to break his own promise, but he will never ever let go the devotee's promise down. Like in Bhishmadev's episode, just spontaneously it came to my mind. How Bhishmadev also was a pure devotee. And it so happened, there is a flashback. Once Pandavas, they were just wandering through the forest, and there they happened to see Duryodhan, who had lost battle with one Gandharva, and Gandharva had finally captured him. So on the request of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna finally succeeds in saving Duryodhan, he rescues him, and that Gandharva also becomes his friend. So Duryodhan, after feeling obliged, he says, you ask for any benediction, boon, I am ready to give. At this moment, very moment, if you ask for the entire kingdom of Hastinapur, I am ready to give you. But Arjuna says, no, because I am a Kshatriya, I don't want in that way. So we'll fight and then we'll win it in the battle. So Duryodhan says, okay, still, because he is also Kshatriya, so he wants to show off his powers. So he says, okay, you reserve the right to ask the benediction anytime in future. And now, after a few years, when there is this battle ensuing, Bhishmadev, he had taken a vow to wipe out, rather defeat all the Pandavas. So, because Duryodhan was trying to humiliate him, saying that you are giving soft corner to Pandavas. So Bhishmadev, he becomes angry and he takes a vow that tomorrow I am going to defeat all the Pandavas. I have 5 special arrows, celestial arrows in my quiver, and I am going to use them tomorrow. And Duryodhan, because he is little suspicious in the mind that he may not use them, so he says, please give me those arrows, I will keep them with me, and tomorrow I will give them to you. So he takes them away. Krishna, being the all-knower, being seated in everyone's heart, he knew this very well. So immediately he thought, my devotee is in danger. So that time Arjuna was sleeping, and Krishna, he woke him up, said, Arjun, there is a danger, there is a crisis. So what kind of crisis? Let me sleep. You are there, so what is the fear? So Krishna says, no, 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 it's time to get up. And as was the prevalent custom those days, although they had the fights and battles, still the enemies, they could travel to each other's camp in the night. They could have dinner together and they could have a nice chit-chat. So Arjuna, rather Lord Krishna, he requests Arjuna to at once go to the enemy's camp, go to Duryodhan and ask for those five weapons, five celestial arrows. So as per the instruction, he goes to Duryodhan, and Duryodhan, seeing Arjuna coming to his camp, he welcomes him nicely and he says, oh, you have come to beg for the kingdom? I am ready to give you. Arjuna says, I don't want that. Then what do you want? So Arjuna says, those five arrows I want. And Duryodhan happily gives them. So now Bhishma Dev, next day, he comes to know that by Krishna's trick, he has lost those five arrows. And without those powerful celestial arrows, Bhishma Dev very well knew that it was almost impossible to defeat Pandavas. So he becomes furious, thinking that Krishna has played a trick. So immediately he takes a vow that tomorrow I'll make Krishna to break his promise because he has humiliated me by urging me to break my own promise. So tomorrow I'm going to make Krishna break his own promise. The promise, the vow that he had taken not to take any weapon in the hand in the battle of Kurukshetra. So the fight begins, and there was a fierce battle that takes place between Arjuna and Bhishma. And Bhishma, it is said, he was shooting arrows with so much of speed that all over there were arrows, and nothing could be seen except the arrows. So Arjuna, although he was not fighting to the best of his ability with his best valor, Krishna, seeing that Arjuna is not fighting with the best of his capacity, becomes agitated and immediately gets down off the chariot and looks around. And there is this broken wheel of chariot lying. Picks it up, marches toward Bhishma Dev, just like an elephant is marching to kill a lion. So the moral is, in this pastime, it is very well depicted that Lord is ready to break up his own promise to protect his devotees, but he will never ever let the promise of his devotee go down. So Bhishma, being the devotee of the Lord, he wanted to keep up the promise of Bhishma Dev, the vow that he had taken, that I will make Krishna break his own promise. So here we see the Lord is very eager to protect his devotee. So that is how immediately he sits on his carrier, as is mentioned here, Garuda. And one time one devotee was mentioning, Lord was so eager to protect his devotee that he was in so much of hurry that it so happened a couple of times that he actually went ahead of Garuda sometimes. He was flying in the sky and he was going ahead of Garuda, just like sometimes in animation we see, you know, like there was this Tom and Jerry and all. Sometimes there he's going up, flying in the sky, and then again the another person is trying to catch him. So he was so eager to protect his devotees. Then finally he arrives on the scene and seeing Gajendra in that distressful condition, immediately he pulls him, with left hand he pulls him out of the water, and with the right hand he sends the Sudarshan Chakra, the disc, and chops off the mouth of the crocodile, beheads him. Gajendra, he offered the beautiful prayers, and as His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, he gave a beautiful class, I believe last Saturday. He mentioned a wonderful point in this connection. Gajendra, at the final moment, though he saw the Lord has come, he's giving him an audience, he did not want any kind of liberation also. It was not that he was praying to the Lord that, Lord, please take me out of the water and, you know, restore me back in my happy situation. No, he had developed the thorough conviction that this material world is full of dangers and it is not worth living. So he wanted to get out of it and get restored back into his original position, constitutional position, to be servant of the Lord. So he looks around and he sees there is a beautiful lotus flower, picks it up and is offering it to the Lord. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj mentioned that actually he in that situation also he wanted to offer love and devotion to the Lord. And Lord is very well known to accept anything, little bit, like Bhagavad Gita, he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Little bit offered with love and devotion, Krishna immediately accepts it. So Krishna sees the intent, not the thing that is offered. So there is another lesson to be learned is Lord is hungry for love and devotion. He sees the intention. Now, that reminds me of one nice anecdote. Lord is personally eager to protect his devotees. In this connection, the story that comes to my mind is story of Akbar and Birbal. Once it so happened that Birbal mentioned this point that Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Krishna says, surrender unto me and I'll save you, protect you from all dangers, all sinful activities. Do not fear. So personally he comes. So Akbar, he didn't believe the words of Birbal. He said, I am the emperor of entire India. I am the king. Anything that I need, everything is there at beg and call of mine. So what is the need for me to go personally, you know? So this sounds little absurd. Then after a few days, when Akbar and Birbal, they were having a nice excursion, they were in the water of the lake, they were sailing in the boat. Also there happened to be sun. So Birbal now, he wanted to teach him a lesson. So he just pushes him off in the water. So the prince, he falls in the water. And there were a couple of soldiers also. Without even waiting for any moment, Akbar immediately jumps into the water, saves his son. Now Birbal is asking, so what happened, Alampana? You were saying that there is no need for any emperor or king, you know, to personally go and rescue anyone. So, no, this is, he is my jigar ka tukda. He's so dear to me. How could I wait for anyone to go inside? So, I have to go. Then Birbal teaches him in a similar way. The Lord also is so eager to protect his devotees. Then, as we see, Gajendra, as is mentioned in this beautiful verse, today's verse, the Lord is offering him the liberation. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the word vimoksha is very significant. Now moksha, which means salvation, Prabhupada writes here as it means getting the position of the Lord's associate. And then he goes on to explain how what is the difference between the liberation that is desired by the impersonalist, Mayavadis, and the liberation that is desired by a devotee. So he says, impersonalists, they want to get merged into the effulgence of the Lord. They want to they want to just destroy their existence. They don't want to serve the Lord. Whereas a devotee of the Lord, as is confirmed in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Muktir Hitva Anyata Rupam Sarupena Vyavastiti. The real meaning of liberation for any devotee is to get restored back into one's natural constitutional position, which is, as is said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Sarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. We are eternally servant of the Lord. So then Prabhupada says, a devotee is immediately appointed as a confidential servant of the Lord, whereas an impersonalist is insecure and generally falls down. Finally, because the nature of the spirit soul is Sachidananda, he is active. One time Shamanand Prabhu was mentioning, wonderful point, he said, even in conditional stage, if we are so active, the soul is so active in the embodied stage, can you imagine in the liberated stage how active the soul must be? That means soul needs engagement, service. But then in this Sayujya Mukti, the liberation desired by the impersonalist, there is no engagement. It is just like dormant state, as if you are sleeping. So how long can he continue like that? Then Prabhupada goes on to say, generally, such souls, they fall down. And after falling down, what happens to them? Their propensity to serve, their active nature again sprouts. They want to serve, so they start serving nation, the society, and they get engaged into the philanthropical activities, the altruistic activities. So there, Srila Prabhupada also mentions, as Mayavadis, they say, ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸತ್ಯ ಜಗನ್ಮಿಥ್ಯ. ದಿಸ್ ಈ ದಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಸತ್ಯ, ದ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್, ಬಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯ, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅನ್ ಇಲ್ಯೂಷನ್. ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಸೋ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪರ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಎಂಜಾಯಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಫಾರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ದಿ ಮುಕ್ತಿ, ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಡಜಂಟ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಇಸ್ ಟು ಸರ್ವ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಯಥಾತಥಾವಾ ವಿಧದಾತು ಲಂಪಟೋ ಮತ್ ಪ್ರಾಣನಾಥಸ್ತು ಸೇವನ್. ಓ ಮೈ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ವೆದರ್ ಯು ಕೀಪ್ ಮೀ ಎನಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ಎನಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್, ಮೈ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಜಾಬ್ ಈಸ್ ಟು ಕೀಪ್ ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ಯು. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ದೆನ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕೋಟ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಫೇಮಸ್ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಟೆಡ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ 10th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ತತ್ತೇನು ಕಂಪಾಂ ಸುಸಮೀಕ್ಷ ಮಾಡೋ ಭುಂಜಾನಂ ಏವಾತ್ ಭುಂಜಾನ ಏವಾತ್ಮಂ ಕೃತಂ ವಿಪಾಪಂ ಹೃತ್ವಾಕ್ ವಪುಭಿರ್ ವಿದದಾ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಜೀವತೆ ಯೋ ಮುಕ್ತಿಪದೇ ಸದಾಯ ಭಾಗ್. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಒನ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಸೆಡ್ ದರ್ ಆರ್ ತ್ರೀ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಸ್ ನೀಡ್ ಟು ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್. ಎನಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಅ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಥ್ರೂ ಎನಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್, ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಅಡೇರ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇ ಸೆಡ್. ನಂಬರ್ ಒನ್, ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ, ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಓಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಮೈ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕರ್ಮಸ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಮೈ ಮಿಸ್ಟೇಕ್, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಓನ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಡೀಡ್ಸ್. ನಂಬರ್ ಟೂ, ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೋ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕೌಂಟೆಡ್ ಮೈ ರಿಯಾಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್, ಇಫ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಟು ಲೂಸ್, ಮೈ ಲೆಗ್ ವಾಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಆಂಪ್ಯೂಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಆನ್ ಆಕ್ಸಿಡೆಂಟ್, ಬಟ್ ನೌ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ಫಿಂಗರ್. ಸೊ ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕೌಂಟೆಡ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಥ್ರೀ, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಫಾರ್ ಮೀ. ದಿಸ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಫಾರ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಸೀಕ್ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಮೋರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮೋರ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಟು ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, ಇಫ್ ಹಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ದೆನ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ರಿವರ್ಸಲ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಆ್ಯಸ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಸೇಸ್, ಜೀವೇತ ಯೋ ಮುಕ್ತಿ ಪದೇ ಸದಾಯ ಭಾಗ್, ಓನ್ಲಿ ಸಚ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅ ರೈಟ್ಫುಲ್ ಕ್ಲೇಮ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಸನ್ ಇನ್ಹೆರಿಟ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಫಾದರ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ಫೈನಲ್ ಲೆಸನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿ ಡಿರೈವ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಎಪಿಸೋಡ್ ಈಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಲರ್ನ್ ಟಾಲರೇಟಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟೀಸ್, ದಿ ರಿವರ್ಸಲ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಲೈವ್ಸ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸೀ ದಿ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಸೊ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ದೆಮ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫೈನಲಿ, ಬೈ ಫಾಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಫುಟ್ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರ, ವಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ದಸ್ ಗೋ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಹೋಮ್, ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಗಾಡೆಡ್. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ ಯರ್. ಎನಿ ಕ್ವೆಶನ್ಸ್, ಕ್ವೆರೀಸ್, ಕಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್? ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ಜಯ್. ತಾಯಿ ಗೋಡ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದ.